In terms of American sport, there are few more iconic figures than this man, Vince Lombardi. Every year, the greatest show on earth in terms of spectator numbers by television is the Super Bowl, the great climax of the American football season. The Super Bowl trophy is the Lombardi Trophy, named after Vince Lombardi. At the height of his career, he was the head coach of the team called the Green Bay Packers. He took them from being a failing team to being one of the most successful teams in sporting history. There, in Green Bay, he was working with some of the best players ever to play the game. Yet every year, as Lombardi gathered his players together, as they were about to embark on a new season, he started every year by saying this. He held up the ball before them and said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Now, you may think, as skilled practitioners, as highly paid professionals, they knew that already. But Vince Lombardi reckoned that to get the best out of every year, they needed to go back to the beginning and start with the basics. It's also said that he taught them every year how to put on their boots and tie their laces. Back to basics. Back to the beginning. Well, folks, no matter who you are or where you are on your journey, it never does any harm to get back to the basics in terms of this faith of ours. To go back to the beginning, to where it all starts. Today we are doing that in the book of Genesis and at the beginning of it. And really that's what we're doing through this whole year as we go through the story. We're going back to basics. We're hearing the story all over again as if for the first time. And it will do us no harm at all. In 1996, astronomers focused the Hubble Space Telescope on a small, utterly black patch of space next to the Plough constellation as we know it. And they left the shutter open for 10 whole days. And at the end of that time, it revealed to them 3,000 galaxies that were previously entirely unknown. In 2004, they did the same thing again, this time focusing on a dark patch of sky next to the constellation Orion. And with the lens open for 11 days, they captured and, in effect, discovered 10,000 more galaxies than they knew had ever existed before. This new discovery they called the Ultra Deep Field, so far off in space as previously to have been entirely undetected. The work of the Hubble Telescope has brought us to the point where we are able to guesstimate that there are something like 100 billion galaxies in the universe. Not 100 million stars. Every galaxy comprises billions of stars. 100 billion galaxies making up our universe. And as any good astronomer will tell you, that may be only the tip of the iceberg. Folks, there are times for scientific exploration. Times to be in awe at what our scientific community has helped us to understand about this universe of which we are a part. But there are other times when we should stand back and declare, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, thy power throughout the universe displayed. In the beginning, God was at work, creating a big bang all of his own. Not so much a random accident, but a deliberate, intelligent outworking of his power and love. And though it is utterly insignificant in rational scientific terms, as part of all that God did, he brought this into being. And here, he chose to display his finest work. Life. Life. God created life. And without God, there is no life. And as the crowning glory of life, of all that he made, there is you. A universe comprising 100 billion galaxies, and every one made up of hundreds of billions of stars. This is the awesome work of his hand. And yet the pinnacle of all that he created is you. And somehow you are like God. Somehow you resemble God. Somehow you reflect something of God. Somehow there is something of God and something of you. Folks, there are times for scientific astonishment as we marvel at the biological complexity of the human being. And there are other times for knowing that when you read about Adam and Eve at the beginning of the story, you're reading about yourself. You are part of what God made. And God said that it was very good. This is God's first word to you and about you. It was very good. It is good. And yet, it is good, and yet somehow we all know that something is wrong. It is not as it was meant to be, as intended. In his creating, God desired harmony and oneness and relationship with everything that he had made, including, of course, with us. But we live now as part of a paradise lost. There are times for reflecting theologically on what they did. For reflecting on what the Garden of Eden story is all about. But most of all, you need to know that it's a story about you. That you are good, but that you are most definitely fallen. We are made for life with God. But from the moment of our conception, the only certainty is death. And that is the result of our fallenness, which we trace back to very near the very beginning. What we have, what we are living, is life, but not as intended. What He intended was life, but not as we know it. And that, folks, is the beginning of the story. At one moment, marvelous, wondrous, awe-inspiring, in the majesty of all that God has made, on the very next page, dispiriting, despairing, and depressing. I remember the girls in my school class back in primary. There was a couple of books they all read. One was What Katie Did, and the follow-up book was What Katie Did Next. Today we've started out the beginning of the story. The rest of it is what happened next. Or more precisely, what God did next. And that, my friends, is a whole new chapter. See you next week.